You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. On Monday mornings, you can call the program at 564-1290, 564-1290. When we rebroadcast Monday evenings at 9 p.m. and Saturday afternoons at 2 p.m., call Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, at 898-4242, 898-4242, and visit RadioRealEstate.com for program information and to search MLS listings in Santa Barbara and throughout California. Welcome back, if you just tuned in. You're about 30 minutes late. We start the program just at the top of the hour, but thanks for joining me, Mark Schneidman. I'm talking with Susan Petrovich, an attorney with Hatch and Parent, located here in Santa Barbara, purportedly the largest law firm between L.A. and San Francisco. Until someone sues me, I'm going to continue saying that. And we're talking about the recent Supreme Court decision, court reasoning of taking of private property, and a lot of people are up in arms about it. I'm sure you've been reading about it. And a couple of things we'll cover this segment is blight and are there legitimate uses for the taking of one's property. Just to digress, though, I don't want a lesson in history, but you just casually mentioned about the Bill of Rights being proposed by those who opposed the Constitution, and were you saying that the Bill of Rights was adopted to appease these people who were opposed to the Constitution because they were concerned?
Oh, yes. There was a great deal of concern about what they called the tyranny of the majority. A straight democracy means that if you're in the minority, you can be outvoted and continuously. And the fear was that the very rights that people had fought the Revolutionary War for would be taken away. And so the compromise was to come up with the Bill of Rights, which would be individual rights that could not be taken away by the majority under any circumstances. And, of course, your recourse was that if the government tried to take away your rights, you could sue and take it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is exactly what these folks in New London, Connecticut, thought they were doing.
They thought, but the irony is the decision seems to thwart the perspective of those opposed to the Constitution and who trumpeted the Bill of Rights.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the irony. So talk a little bit about blight and legitimate uses for this taking eminent domain.
Sure. Right before the break, we were talking about many people saying that this could never happen in California because of our own system of laws. And under our laws, the government can condemn private property for a legitimate public use like a school or a road or a fire station, or to cure blight. And then I mentioned the redevelopment agencies. The redevelopment agencies were created to take the real property taxes from property within the redevelopment agency boundaries, and rather than putting them in the general fund for the county or the city, to put them into a fund that was specifically earmarked to upgrade a blighted area, therefore improving the entire area, restoring economic vitality, but also making it a better place to live and work. But the key is that there has to be a finding of blight. And blight, there are several different indicators of blight. But believe it or not, about 12 years ago now, the county of Santa Barbara found that Isla Vista was a blighted area. Partly it doesn't have sidewalks.
That's a definition of blight?
That's one of the indicators of blight.
So Hope Ranch is blight.
I guess you
live in Montecito.
That's
blighted.
Right. We're on the hit list,
okay.
I guess.
You're next.
So there is an Isla Vista.
Oh, by the way, can I trumpet something very personal here? I have a new listing in Montecito. It's probably the lowest. You live in Montecito, correct?
Yes, I do.
Probably the lowest price listing in Montecito. No sidewalks. And it is, you might call this house blighted. We're gonna call it a fixer. And the seller said I could call it a fixer, but it's $1,350,000. It's on Romero Canyon. As you go up Romero Canyon, you can get houses into the multi-millions. This is on the smaller side where a lot of the workers used to live, some of these little streets off East Valley Road out at Sheffield. Anyway, it's just under a 10,000-square-foot parcel. It's $1,350,000. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath. It'll be open this Wednesday, which is July 13th, from 10 to 1, and then next Sunday from 2 to 5 at 655 Romero Canyon. So if you're around.
That's your inexpensive starter home.
The least expensive home in Montecito, $1,350,000.
Amazing.
And you could do a major demo or just, you know, clean it up a little bit. It's You can get some condos in Montecito for less than that. We'll talk more about that in the fourth segment when I do my weekly multiple listing update. But you reminded me about blight, and it made me think of my new listing.
Well, let me go on with Isla Vista, because I'm sure you can probably get some multi-million dollar properties in Isla Vista as well.
True.
Which is one of the reasons why people are startled when they hear that it is a blighted area, given the rents out there. The county initially, when they declared Isla Vista to be a redevelopment area, said that they would not use eminent domain, that their goal was just to upgrade the area and to use the tax dollars for that purpose. So very few people opposed the formation of the Isla Vista Redevelopment Agency. But then a couple of years ago, the County Board of Supervisors decided to revisit the decision as to whether or not they would use eminent domain. And you can imagine the outcry at that time, especially because the county had recently daylighted a very aggressive plan for basically changing the entire character of Isla Vista so it would look something like Santa Monica, with three-story buildings and just an incredible plan. And the local property owners, many of them business owners, actually hired our firm to oppose the county undertaking to change their promise. And we cited the Mammoth Lakes case, and we took the position that if the county was going to change its position and start taking people's property, they also needed to revisit the initial finding of blight, because the idea that Isla Vista is a blighted area is as laughable as downtown Mammoth Lakes. So
yes.
The county ultimately did the right thing, and they did decide not to impose eminent domain or condemnation rights in Isla Vista. So there has been no property taken. They have bought some property, used redevelopment dollars to both buy properties, I believe, and also to help upgrade some properties. There were some apartment houses that needed upgrading, and actually they've been turned into affordable housing. So some good things have happened in Isla Vista, and there is now an Isla Vista plan being considered by the community, and it's being significantly reworked to be responsive to the character of the community. But that sort of gives you an idea of the sort of thing that can happen in a community if the public agency decides to that it really does want to take private property. And most people don't detect a threat until it's too late. So it's important for people to be vigilant in answer to the caller's question. It is very important for people to be vigilant.
For those of you new in the area, Isla Vista is basically 1 square mile adjacent to the University of California, Santa Barbara, right on the ocean, and primarily housing for students.
The densest population anywhere in the county. And of course, the density of the population was one of the things that the county used to find blight, which is funny given the fact it's students who are all crammed together on purpose.
Intentionally. Yeah. Do you know the highest grossing restaurant per square foot in California?
No, I do not.
Speaking of density, I've always been told it was Brophy Brothers.
Wow.
Which, you know, you build something real popular and you make it the size of a closet, I guess you'll win that designation, being the highest grossing restaurant. We only have about another 7 minutes for Susan to join us, and then we'll do the fourth quarter with the weekly multiple listing update coming up. But our phone number, 564-1290, 805 area, yes?
And let me give you some examples.
Okay.
Of some properties that have been taken by an eminent domain, including some in California. In Monrovia, there was a property owner who had an auto shop, repair shop. He had owned it for many, many years. And when he bought it, I mean, it backed up to the railroad tracks. It was sort of in a very undesirable area, semi-industrial area. He thought no one would ever want housing there. But then the city changed. The whole character of the city changed. And the city took his auto shop and built new condos there. So they paid him off and kicked him off. And I don't think he was invited to live in one of the condos or to have his auto repair shop in one of them either.
Right. The least they could do is try to negotiate that. Or
have it a mixed use, but they did not do that. In San Diego, there was a cold storage facility that was condemned for
in
the
fact,
Petco.
In fact, my ex-girlfriend worked there. No, kidding.
She was in cold
storage.
She was
kept there. She...
his property was condemned for the Petco ballpark. Now, that's a some people might argue that ball games are public
use, national pastime, yes. Apple pie. You can,
but he didn't see it that way. In Oakland, there was a tire shop that was condemned for apartments and condos. Again, no attempt at mixed use. They just kicked the property owner off. And much like your Trinity auto shop lead-in.
The auto dealer, yes. in the Soviet Union, in Russia,
that's right.
Rather. Yeah,
his tire shop became apartments and condos. And then, of course, in some other states, it's just there are many other examples of properties, private homes, apartment buildings
now
being
taken
and just converted into condos. Sold, but the point is, they're sold. The properties then turn around, sold to a private developer to build condos.
So a myriad of examples of this private to private use instead of private to public use.
Yeah. And the ones I gave you are in California. They've already happened. So when people say it can't happen here, I don't think that's realistic.
And the caller earlier who asked what they could do, I mean, to follow up on that, what do we do?
I think we as citizens use our voices to encourage our legislators to change the law, to make it clearer, so that this cannot happen. Because there will be a temptation in virtually every community where there are areas of town that just aren't real nice. There'll be a temptation to take those properties and convert them into some other use that a developer who comes to town says that they'll be willing to do. And, of course, condos are in many communities are becoming increasingly popular because of the yuppie idea that they don't want to mow lawns and take care of gardens, and they don't really care about a big yard. They want to live in a box.
Next week, Gene Graffy will be my guest, former supervisor, city councilman, planning commissioner, and we'll talk a lot about the downzoning that occurred in the 70s in Santa Barbara and how a lot of that's some people claiming are being changed with this inclusionary housing and different situations, upper state, outer state, density. When you were referring to Isla Vista, it made me think of your client out there with the county battle. That the last time you were on the program, you're talking about this is a oceanfront property that the county was claiming was unsafe. Now, just have a minute to recap that, or what happened with that?
Well, unfortunately, the battle continues. The county is continuing to assert that the property owners, even though they've got very competent experts who have said that the properties are safe, or with minor modifications they will continue to be safe, the county still says that it is not satisfied. So the battle rages on. The only people who are now able to occupy their properties in the fall are the people who just gave up and said, okay, do whatever you want to us. We'll move our properties back. We'll move our buildings back. We'll cut our buildings back. We just can't fight you anymore. So the county is a very, very powerful force.
Unlike what the county of, we're talking about Santa Barbara County, unlike the county of Ventura, seeming to take a very weaker stand on the slide in
La Conchita,
which everyone has seen on the news. Well, in terms of the last thing on the apartment, you might suggest to your client that he change the name of the apartment building from Corvair. You know, it's just that unsafe correlation. Any last minute words on your first taking case? Is anything interesting? I don't want to ask you when that was. You said you were a young lawyer back then.
Well, it was actually it was in 1975.
Okay.
And that was an eminent domain, a reverse eminent domain case, where the property owner wanted to build a hotel and the city wanted to have a park there. And that park is, in fact, now the Douglas Family Preserve.
Oh.
But the property owner wanted to build a resort hotel with a golf course there and was using the driveway, the old entrance driveway, directly off Cliff Drive to access the property because it had been an old nursery. So that driveway at one time was plenty large enough, but as you know, since over time, it has been overgrown, and the park is not able to use the entrance driveway off Cliff, which makes the neighborhood people whose roads are used for access, none too happy.
Wow. Wow. You know, I forgot about that. I think that was mentioned one time on this program. That would have been a great trivia historical. So that was your first taking case.
That's correct.
Well, you know what? Next time you come on, Susan Petrovich from Hatch and Parent, local Santa Barbara law firm. Next time you come on, maybe we could spend a segment discussing that case. Thanks so much for being here, Susan. I know you've got to run. You got an appointment. You got to go make some money. You're not charging me for this hour, are you?
Of course not, Mark.
Thank you.
You're my friend.
Thank you. Susan Petrovich from Hatch and Parent. This is Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate Hour. Our phone number, 805-564-1290. We'll take a break, come back for the fourth quarter, where Susan's leaving me alone, and I'll do my weekly multiple listing update. Stay tuned. You'll be right back. Thanks, Susan.